תגיד א' כי הרני השם, השם דרכך ומכיני באורך לישור למען שרוי. כי לציל ויהיה את ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהים מלך עולם שהכל יהיה בדברוי. Mr. Cohen, thank you so much for the coffee. Okay. Pasuk Yud Yud Alpha, let's see Pasuk Yud Alpha in the Mitzvah Stavit. Pasuk Yud, is this working the microphone? Just raise the volume in the front. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Harini Hashem Darakecha. Hashem, teach me. The word Harini means teach me. Let's see if we have the Mitzudos Tzion first. Harini means Lamdeni, teach me. Teach me your way. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzudos David. Leman Shoroi Kikish Ekoshel Behechana. What does it mean? Let's see Shoroi. Let's look at the Mitzvah Sion. Inyan Habata Vechain Shoafu Shorai. To gaze.
I don't know why he picked that example.
Okay, the people that are looking at me, there are people that look at you, they can't wait for.
But Torah.
Yeah.
Torah itself is.
Right, Torah. Right, Torah comes from the word of instruction.
Right,
instruction. Correct. So, what does it mean over here? Shoriroi. Shoriroi means the people that look, like Yosef. Yosef says, "Alei shur bonois tzoada, alei shur." So the alei shur means top of the wall. The word shur means the top of the wall, but there's another interpretation there. Above the eye. Yosef was Alei Shur. He was over the eye. He was not subject to Maris Ayin. He's not subject to Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara. Because the word Shura means to gaze. Okay, how does it mean in some context? In this pasuk, it means to gaze.
It has a different translation.
Yeah.
Probably agreeing with someone else. Those who lie in wait.
Those who lie in wait. That's very interesting.
And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that translation.
And that is consistent with bonos so'ado alei shur.
Yeah, upon the wall, the lying in wait.
They're waiting, the ladies are waiting for him to pass by.
Okay, so it's also they're lying in wait, literally. Okay, but there, the word, the little word, what is the shorish of the word shoriroi? Shoriroi, the mitzudois tzion says it means to gaze, habata. Leman, inyan habata, v'chein shoafu, they yearn shoriroi. Okay, we're talking about ma'ha'ivim ha'mabitim olai b'inyan ra, those that ma'bit, they gaze at me b'inyan ra, with an evil eye. They're looking to harm me. They're looking for a vulnerable moment when they can attack. They can take advantage of my state of vulnerability. Again, Mitzudas David says, "Leman shorai ki kishek koshel b'darkei Hashem." When I stumble in the ways of Hashem, ve'eonesh, and I am punished. Olav ve'eonesh olav, and I'm punished because of my averos. At that moment in time, what's going to happen? Yismichu shorai. My enemies, the people that are looking, they can't wait for this to happen. The Yomru, and they'll say, Yidehem Ramah, oh, we finally have prevailed, our hands are strong. So what over here? Over here is, let's look at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Aleph in this, let's see how he looks at this Pasuk. And there is no Rashi. Let's look at the Radak. Horeni Hashem Derekecha, Kvar Perashnu Haderech V'Oirach Mishor Shoyim Mevakesh. We've already explained the Derech. Okay, the road is the big road. The Oyrach Mishor is the proper, the just path. Shoyim Avakish, David sought. Leman Shoriroi Heim Ho'ivim Hamabitim Oso Be'ayin Ro'o Kmo Vahi Shohol Oyein Es David. Shohol, he looked. Okay, he's trying to make a connection in this person.
Waiting for him to stumble.
He was Oyein. He looked at him. Shohol. Vayihi, one more time, the words over here. What is it over here? I lost the place over here in the Radak. V'yishol oyein nesta v'heim choshim ki ein li chelik ba'Hashem. And they believe that I have no chelik in Hashem. I'm totally, I'm lost. Okay. So let's go back to the pasuk. Hori Hashem darkech, Hashem, teach me your ways. Unecheni, guide me. Boirach mishar, in the path of righteousness. Leman shoriroi, in order to I should show up, or leman shoriroi, I should overcome. I should not be embarrassed by my enemies that are laying in ambush, waiting patiently for me to mess up, to make a mistake, and they will rejoice over my downfall. Pasuk Yudbeis, Al titnei b'nefesh sarai, do not deliver me into the nefesh of my enemies. Do not deliver me to my enemies. Ki kamuvi edei sheker, because it has risen up against me, test witnesses of sheker, v'fei chamas, those people who blow chamas, violence. Let's see the mitzudois David. Do not deliver me into the nefesh of my enemies. They want to finish me off. So it's very interesting what it says over here. This is very simple. And the idea is the word vifech means to blow. Vayipach, this obviously is a takeoff of something we say over only 1,000 times. Vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim.
Before you go there, benefesh, according to the mitzudas, means tava.
The desire, excellent, right? The desire. Do not let me stumble into their traps. They have laid traps, and they want I should stumble and fall. Right. And I hear David is begging Hashem, do not allow me to fall into the desires of my enemies, into the trap of my enemies. Fine. What does it mean? Vifeach means to blow. Blowing comes from the word of speech. Vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim, Hashem blew into the nostrils of man the breath of life. What does it mean?
And it also said, means to blow, like to fan the flame, so to speak. You see, they want to speak evil of David and fan the flames against him, so to speak.
Okay. They're trying to create a
hostility and animosity.
Okay, obviously, okay, but on a very simple level, just on a very the etymology of the word.
Well, you brought up.
Sorry, what does it say? It says in the pasuk, "Vayipach ba'av nishmas chayim." And what does the Targum say in that pasuk? The Targum in that pasuk says, "Vahavis l'adam v'vayhidam l'nefesh chaya." Targum says, "Man was a man of speech." So what do we learn from this? That the concept of blowing is related to the principle of speech. Hashem blew into the nostrils of man breath. And what was the result? The result was man was a creature that speaks. That speaks. So Hashem's blowing produces dibur, speech. So here when it says vifei chamas, it's basically drawing from that translation, that word in the beginning of the Torah, and to the stuff it says, and they speak about me violence. They
not necessarily violent, it's just it's evil.
Evil, okay.
So the previous statement is like, it can be a day sheker. They talk about me.
Okay.
It's what they call today verbal violence. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Beis says, the desire of my enemies, liyos tavos sam miskayem esolai.
They desire that I should suffer. Vifei chamas, Doivrei ra'ah, they speak evil. L'shoyn acher, l'shoyn boikesh. Okay, vifeach is a trap. Okay, according to Rashi's second interpretation, the word vifeach does not mean speech, it means a trap.
Correct.
A mokesh. Where does the word vifeach? A pach, a pach. Ha pach nishbor, va'anachnu nim lotnu. Pach, right, so pach yokush is another expression. A pach means a trap. So instead of the word vifeach means to blow, it means a trap, and they set for me traps of violence. I take a wrong step, I will die. They will kill me. Okay, so we have over here Let's nimzuk the radak a little bit. Okay, pasuk you based in the radak. Al tenei nevesh, do not deliver me. Do not deliver me. B'nefesh shorai, b'nefesh shorai, b'ritzoin oivai. Into the desire of my enemies. B'tava sam kamo im yesh es naf shechem, as Shemachol mentioned. The word nefesh means a desire. Do not allow me to fall into their desires. They have, my enemies have a desire that I should suffer. Do not allow that to happen. Ritzoinam. It is their desire. I shall have no time to serve Hashem. It's very interesting what the Radak is saying, is that my enemies do not want me to sit and learn in the Bet Midrash. They want me to go out into the world and fight wars. The Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer will let you do anything that you want except for learn a Daf Gemara. It's so, so true. You can do Chesed, you can daven, you can say Tehillim. There is always an excuse, always. The only thing that he will not let you do, he will not let you learn Torah. It must be, there's something very special about learning Torah. If the Yetzer Hara is so powerful, so intense, that he'll do anything he possibly can not to learn a Daf Gemara. There must be something very special about learning a Daf Gemara.
That's the famous word, what the Malach
because
let them do chesed, let them daven.
But Torah, Vayeovek, Rav Menachem Sperling is saying, Vayeovek ish imoy adalos hashachar. How come we only find the Malach of Sar Shal Esav fought with Yaakov? How come we don't find any equivalent of Vayeovik Ish Imoy by Avraham and by Yitzchak? So Menachem says because Avraham's avoda is chesed, Yitzchak's avoda is avoda, is davening. Yaakov is Torah, emes, Torah. The Malach will let you do chesed. The Malach will let you daven. What the Malach really does not want is that you should learn Torah. There's something about Jewish education, about Torah, that somehow the Yetzer Hara knows the truth. He knows the potency, the power of what it could accomplish, and they'll let you do anything except for that. Okay, so let's go further over here. This is over here what the Radak says about this pasuk. Al titneni b'nefeshoy, do not allow me to fall into the nefesh, the desire of my enemy, the Yetzer Hara, because they rise up against me. What do? They Eidei Sheker and traps, or they speak words of falsehood. You see, it's interesting, when it comes to Eidei Sheker, it's really amazing, you know, if you follow politics, you know, certain times, and there are certain things that you do in politics, especially, you know, in America. Lahavdul Elif Alfi Havdolis, in America, in the justice system, once the court hands down the law, it's over. There's really nothing you can do. If you have a grievance against anything in this, any grievance, so what do? You can go talk to your councilman and your politician and your senator. If at some point in time it goes to the courts, and it goes to this court, that court, and then the court makes a decision, it's over. That's it. There's nothing more you can possibly do. That's your last. So witnesses is really the end. If two people get up in court and they testify that Reuven killed Shimon, Reuven committed a crime, and they're sheker, they are sheker, they're liars. These witnesses are false witnesses. It doesn't matter. You lose. The fact that two witnesses testify in court, the Torah says, "Al pishnayim ashloisha edim yakum dover." That's the final straw. That's the last thing that you have. If two witnesses are willing to go so far to lie and to testify falsely in court, there's nothing you can do. It's over. It's checkmate. Ah, but they're shakranim, so they're shakranim. They win. They beat the system. If they're willing to lie and testify as two people, the court has a duty. That's the way the system works. The court has a duty to listen to their test, to accept their testimony, and it's over. David here is saying, Hashem, I know that there are people out there that hate me so much. They have such an intense hatred for me. There's nothing that's beneath them. they're willing to lie in court. And they will stand as witnesses in court as Edei Sheker. Vifei HaChamas. What can we learn very simply is that the word Vifei HaChamas is a continuation of the word Edei Sheker. They are people who have no morals, they're willing to lie, and what will they say? The words that will come forth from their mouth will be words of violence, but they're going to win. They're going to win because that's the law. If two witnesses come to court and testify that Reuven killed Shimon, Beis Din takes Reuven and executes Reuven. And there's nothing Reuven can do about it, even though that's what David is afraid of, that's how far it's going to go. The corruption will go to an extreme where my enemies will not even hold back of going to court and testifying falsely that I've committed crimes that I did not commit, and I will be punished and executed, and there is nothing anyone can do about this. What do you mean? What was the story?
They want revenge. They hired two false witnesses, and they couldn't break their testimony, even though they knew it was
right.
True.
Right.
And
they put him to death. Right. So that is what David over here at the end of this Nizmo is frightened about. Do not deliver me into the nefesh of my enemies, because my enemies are so evil. There's nothing holding them back. They'll testify falsely, and they will express words of violence, and I will die from this. Next pasuk. Now here. It's not so clear. You see, you're asking a good question. Who exactly are these enemies? So we know there are certain enemies that we do know in the Pesukim. But it seems he had more enemies. It seems that there was a collection of, there were more people out there who did not like David. And they were all over the place. They were like, David somehow, I don't know, it is very strange. But we think of David, you know, we romanticize David as being this hero and this beloved person. And yet when you go through Tehillim, it sounds like wherever David turns, there's someone wants to kill him. I mean, you like someone, you know, when you're a good person, everyone likes you. Okay, you'll have a few people that not everyone is always so popular. But why do you get a sense when you learn Tehillim that David is under attack, a vicious attack by so many people? What exactly did David do to so many people? Unless you want to say, I mean, like, you want to go to politics, go lahadol elef alfei avdalos. You have to ask an expert like a machal. I don't think there's been, in my lifetime, I don't think there's been a politician that was so hated like Trump. What was it about him? Let's really talk, what was it about? Is it because the name calling? Was it because he calls everyone he doesn't like, he has this disgusting, he had these nasty names?
No, because he was an outsider.
So you say, okay,
they hated Bush too,
okay.
But not,
okay, so
Bush,
you say, you said another outside idea. He's an outsider. Okay, you know, you could probably get a PhD in studying the human condition to understand what was it about Trump that brought out this intense.
Not in today's university.
what is it? So you're saying he's an outsider. I don't follow politics well enough to understand to know. But there is another idea that you see pop up here and there. Is that he exposed more, because like you see, he's an outsider, he exposed an incredible amount of corruption.
Right.
And when you're a Megala MS, okay, you have a system, like you say he's an outsider. So this is all theory, and it could very well be that this really is the secret to why people hated David so much. You have a system, and the system is a system that's been around for 200 years. Or at least 100 years, and it's thick, layers upon layers upon layers of sheker, of corruption, 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 and that's how it is. And everyone goes along for the ride, and that's the system. Someone comes along and uncovers, peels away a few layers of total garbage, and and you megale a little bit of emes. The people who are living a life of sheker, they're shaken to the core. Their whole existence is threatened to and they can't deal with it. They just go crazy. David is emes. David is an ish emes. We can't deny it. The anis sefila. David, I mean, this Aaron Klalia shows is really very hard to really get. This is a question that has to be discussed. Menachem Sperling is asking a very important question. When you read Tehillim, you go through Tehillim, it sounds like David is the most hated person in the world. There are every other pasuk, my enemies, Laman Shoriroi, the people, they're laying in wait. They can't wait for me to stumble, to mess up, to make a mistake. I'm going to be put to shame. And wherever you turn, David is like, why do they hate you? What did you do to them? What did you do to them that they can't wait for you to fall, to stumble, to be exposed? So you made a mistake. So you did an avera. Ma'isa David Bashev. Okay, and they're better. No, the people that hate you, they didn't do any of these averas.
They just used that.
There's something.
But anyway,
yeah.
This reminds me what happened in Israel against Netanyahu.
Yeah. They hate Netanyahu.
The best prime minister that they had for many, many years. However, he stumbled. He did something, I don't know what he did, it was nothing. Maybe he got cigarettes, I don't know what he got. But the campaign was Rak lo Netanyahu.
So where does it come from? What's the shot?
So that's how he said, now, David HaMelech says, they should not find by me anything.
That was the Trump campaign.
So I should not stumble. Because they will find something.
But why? What is it? What is it about David? That what is it about? You said about Netanyahu. You saw
him. He's on the top. He's on top of the news. Everybody.
So he's on the top. He's very good. He gives out money to everyone. Everyone gets money. Everyone gets what they want.
They have to be careful. That's what he means. You have to be more careful than a regular human being. They will not come against you and me and them. Who are we? Nothing. But he's top of the news.
David doesn't make himself into a tzaddik. David doesn't make himself into a person. I'm better than you. He doesn't lord over these. Not lording over these people.
Right.
He requests Hashem. I don't want anybody to find any wrongdoing by me. Okay, so be that question.
People, for some reason, this has to be on the, I don't know what the answer is, but
if I may make a suggestion.
Yes, yes, Mordechai, yes.
Okay. There was like a famous story that a person was connected an individual on, maybe a Rebbe. So this person was against this Rebbe. So the Rebbe said, I don't know why he's mad at me. I never did anything for him.
I never did a mitzvah.
So we see the psyche of a person. If somebody does something for you, you hate him for something. David did something for all of Klal Yisrael. He saved their mamash from the Pelishtim. He was the hero. He kasha'u ba'al afah b'David b'viv voltav. You know, he was phenomenal. There was that thing where he did good for them. There was some hatred, aspect of that.
I think that's a good point.
I think the reason is because you don't want to be indebted to anybody. So Mordechai is saying, you don't want to be indebted to someone. It is the human nature. You want to be independent. No one wants to be a taker. That goes against the grain of the human condition. A person wants to be a giver. You don't want to be a taker. David here is giving too much. I don't know. Do you really see that David gives so much?
And it's funny because Shaul is the one who is considered a paranoid. You know, we don't think of David in those terms.
We don't find Shaul having such enemies.
But Shaul was paranoid, especially when it came to David.
Okay, but
so we don't think of David as being paranoid.
Right. This is something that you know, we really have to search to really understand, like, because you're making a very good point. What's this? Every David, everyone hate, what do they hate him so much? What did he do to anyone? What already did he do to anyone that he had this intensity wherever we look, save me from my enemies, and then they're willing to go so far to testify falsely to be Eidei Sheker, Yifei Hamas, in order to bring my downfall? Okay, we have to keep this in mind. Mordechai said an idea. I think that story was from the Sfasemes, that it was the Balabas. He had a Balabas in the community that, or maybe it was the Chassam Sofer, that made a lot of trouble. Made grace at Tzaras for him. So the Sfasemes, or whoever it was, said to his Kehila, to his friends, what did I do? I why does he hate me so much? I never did him a Toiva. Because it's human nature. When you do someone a Toiva, they hate you. Let's see this. The last two pesukim, pasuk yud gimel, lulei ha'amash, page 244. We're middle of the finishing of the mizmar of L'dov Hashem Oyri, the mizmar we say during Chodesh Elul, leading up to Simchas Torah. Lulei ha'amanti lirois b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chayim. Now the word lulei, if you notice, has dots on top of it. There are dots, which dots on top and the bottom. There are six dots. We'll see in a moment what they refer to. Rashi talks, I think Rashi mentions.
I'm seeing spots.
Okay. You're seeing stars. Lule, by the way, is the word Elul. Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, backwards. Elul. And that's another reason as to why we read this Mizmor in Chodesh Elul, leading up to Simchas Torah. Lule is Elul. Lule Hamanti. Lirois b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chayim. Now, how do we translate that? There's a difficult passage to translate. Let's see. Look at the Mitzvot David. Lule hemanti on page 245. Lule be'omer ke'omer. Obviously, you can't just translate this passage literally. You have to embellish the translation. Hine kimat hayu me'abdim oisi im loy amdo li zuchus ho'amono shehemanti. Bidvar Hashem, I would have lulei over here. He's translating to mean, I would have come to nothing. I would have disappeared. I would have basically disappeared. I would have been obliterated. I would have been defeated, if not for my faith, if not for Hemanti and Muna.
How much of that is in the word lulei?
Very little. That's why the Mitzudois David says, Ki Oimer. Ki Oimer is the Mitzudois' equivalent of Kiloimar. Whenever Rashi says Kiloimar, it means the translation is not literal. It's an expression. You have to read between the lines to bring out what the Pasuk really means to say. It's not going to be literal. So the word Lule means, I would have turned into a low. I would have been a zero. Like Lamed Aleph means zero, and Lamed Vav is low. To him is low, is zero. To him, referring to himself, low. Lamed Vav Cholam, low. To him, low, Lamed Aleph is nothing, is zero. That person...
The meaning is low. If not...
But then the pasuk is missing the subject. Then what? If not, for I wouldn't believe the Eretz Chaim. What?
Then the Shorah would succeed.
So then you're going back and you're reading it backwards. So okay. So if Talmud is taking the pasuk, and it's, okay, they're in different mahalchim. Okay, let's go one thing at a time. The Mitzudah Stavit says, look at the Mitzudah Stavit, on page 245, this means to say, Hine, kima'at hoyu me'abedim. I would have been destroyed. Where in the Pasuk do you see the word destroyed? You don't see it in this Pasuk. You don't see what he just says. So Kalman is saying that those words is self-understood from the context of the entire Mizmar, which really means go back to the previous Pesukim. In the previous psukim it says, okay, Mr. Kong, maybe you can close the door. In New York City, there's always noose pollution. Noose pollution is the name of the game. Okay. Now the word the word in the previous pasuk. Oh yeah, I realize now. Okay, the previous pasuk says they're trying to destroy me, right? That's the theme of the previous pasukim. Harani Hashem darakecha ki kamu darakecha unecheni barach mishloman leman shori roy. Those that are looking upon me to destroy me, al tetzim do not deliver me benefesh sorai to my enemies. The previous psukim give you the impression that that David is on the way out. There are people that are trying to destroy to take his life. And the only reason why it did not come true, what was mentioned in the previous psukim, is only because of my faith in Hashem. Hemanti. Okay, let's read the Mitzvot David. Ka'oimer hine kimad hayu ma'abdu ma'isim lo omdoli zuchus, the merit, ho'amono, she'emanti bidvar Hashem, the merit of emuna, that I had faith in the Dvar Hashem, asher hif tichani, to see, you promised me, lirois betuv bezeh ho'olam, in this world. Okay, so he's saying over here, the word hemanti means emuna, and there's a nuance that in the Mitzudah stuff that's very important. It's not the emuna itself. He's saying something very deep. It's the zuchus of the emuna. Ordinarily, I think most of us would assume it's that the emuna itself is what sustains us. Person goes through a difficult time in life, and he has emuna. The emuna is what sustains the person. That's not what it says here. It says here, "Hinei kimat hayu ma'abdi moisi im lo amda li." If not for the fact that it stood for me. The zichus ho amono shemanti bidvar Hashem asher eftachtani liros mitov Hashem. It's like a step removed. Emuna, having faith in Hashem, is not going to save you. It's having emuna creates a merit, and that merit is what guarantees a person's survival. That's a very deep idea, because that's not what, I don't think the average person would translate it like that. I think the average person would say it's that the actual emuna is what sustains. It's not like I'm doing a mitzvah, I don't understand what the mitzvah is all about, and once I did that mitzvah, I now have credit in Shemayim, ding, 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 my credit book in Shemayim, I have merits, and that merit is going to serve in Shemayim as a sanegor to protect me. That's not the average way, the way people look at it. You normally understand it is that the faith itself is what sustains it. In any event, you learn over here an incredible idea. However you want to go look at it, according to the Mitzvot David, over here we're dealing with concept of emuna. And of course, obviously that's why this Mitzvot is so critical for Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is the Zman to focus on emuna. Let us see Rashi. Rashi Dibra Maskel says, Luli hamanti imlo shehemanti, if not for my emuna, back Chodesh Baruch Hu, kivar kamu v'oysam edi sheker v'chiluni. Okay, as Rav Kalman said, it goes back to the previous pasuk. The enemies who are trying to destroy me would have succeeded. The word lule is nokud olav. There are dats. Lemedrish, shadar shu rabbi senu. Yodeani sha'ata noisin. What is the word of the dats? I know. Sha'ata noisin sochan la tzadikim loyalim abom. Avul eini yodea im yeishli chelik imorhem imlo. But I do not know if I among them. And what exactly does that mean? So let's look right away to get a better idea at the source of this chazal in the Medrash, in the Likutei Shas, on page 245, on the bottom of the page, Likutei Shas, Shomer Nafshei Ki Chosid, V'David Mi Korei L'Nafshei Chosid. Did David call himself a chosid? V'yoksev lulei he'emanti liroi spituv Hashem b'eretz chayim. Okay, that's the pasuk we just learned. V'tanu mishmei Rabbi Yosi. Lama nokud, why are there dots on this? Why are there dots on this pasuk? Alulei. Amar David lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Riboino shel olam. Muftach ani b'cha sh'ata mishalem socher tov la tzadikim le'osi lova. There is no doubt I have confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give reward to the tzaddik in the next world. Aval, but Eini Yodea Im Yesh Li Chelik Bineim Im Lav. I do not know if I will be amongst them. Av Sheyoda Shechosid Hu. Now we come back, he explains what it means in the past that we quoted above. I'm a chosid. Even though he knows Shechosid Hu, Choshash Shema Yecheto, maybe he will sin. The Yigroim Hachet Sheyafsid Eschoroi, he will lose his reward. Okay, he'll forfeit his reward. Okay, now, so in other words, generally when there are dots, the dots are meant to say to delete the words. The word should be deleted.
A negative.
So Davidov here is saying that on the simple translation, as we said, this pasuk goes back to the previous pasuk, and he's saying, "Lulei, because I have faith in you, Hashem, that is why I am certain, I'm guaranteed that I will survive." But there are dots, meaning there are no guarantees. See, it's a very frightening concept.
Well, without the dots, how would you?
You wouldn't have read it any differently. You would not read it, but David is saying, the question is, who says?
Okay,
so what? That's unique. You don't have that in the Torah. You never have dots on top and the bottom. Obviously, there's more to this. Is why there are so many dots. I didn't see anything. I looked around.
Well,
I didn't see anything.
The Mincha Shai gives a whole long speech here.
The Mincha Shai. Let's look at it. Okay, I didn't even realize. I thought I prepared. Let's see. Lule b'tam revi. There are dots on top and the bottom. So the trap is a review, and there are dots on top and the bottom. These dots are below and above. Usha'ara ki'im le'el. Okay, usha'ara. There's another word. I think the word is usha'ara. Where is that word? I'm not sure. I mean, all other dots. Usha'ara. All other dots that appear in the Torah are only on top. This is the only place in Tanakh where dots appear above and below. Another Misora handwritten manuscript, it's dotted on top and below. Bar min vav. Okay, there is no dot on top and below the vav. Like what we have in our text. In our text, there are two dots on top and below the lamed. The second line on the aleph, there is no two dots above and below the vav. The loy nikudo rak mila'el. Bar min vav, the loy nikudo rak mila'el. We don't have that atkan. We don't have a dot on top of the vav. Okay? We don't have that. The chenri sibimikra kisivasyad mitulitula. The name of a place. Mitulitula. That was the name of a place. He saw the oksav. Repair kabat the brachas. Tandem shred of yosef. Laman nakud al lulei. Omar David. I'm continuing. Right smack in the middle. In the middle of the Mincha Shai, the Parakama. Look at the Mincha Shai. In the Mincha Shai, the Parakama, the Brachas, Dav Dalet. This is what we quoted above on the other side. Same exact words. Tana b'shmei Rabbi Yosi, lama nukud al lulei, why are there dots? Amar David, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, riboyna shalaylam, muftach ani b'chai, have faith in you, sha'ata mishalem socha tov la tzadikim lo asa lavo, you will certainly reward the tzadikim in the next world, avol, eini yoidea, I do not know, im yesh li chelek b'neihem im lav, I do not know if I will be part of it. The savar, shema yigur machet, maybe I will not be deserving. V'achosid yabeitz kosav. Okay, Rav Yaakov Emdin, I'm assuming. Kol lulei. Could that be? Is that Rav Yaakov Emdin? Mincha Shai was... When was the Mincha Shai? Relative to Rav Yaakov Emdin. I don't know. Kol lulei shebamikra mefoirosh v'zeh sosum ki loy perish ne hoya im lo hoya ma'amin. Normally, lulei means normally there's a condition. If I do A, then the result will be B. And if I do not do A, then the result will be not B. By regular classic logic, ninth grade logic. If A, then B. If not A, then not B. Here, it doesn't say what's going to happen. If I have faith in Hashem, then I will merit to survive and to succeed. Okay, and what happens if I do not have faith in Hashem? What's going to happen then? So does it mean I'm not going to survive? Is that what it means?
Not necessarily.
Oh, so Rabbi Mayevsky is saying something very deep. Not necessarily. I'll still survive. Maybe. Even if I do not have faith.
I'll surely survive if I do, but it doesn't mean I won't if I don't.
That's a very controversial statement.
Right, I know.
Okay, I don't know. Let's see.
Jewish thought process.
Okay. Is that a key? Loi perash meo hoya im lo hoya maimin ayin sham the tuf. So I was going to say a little bit different. I would say is that when it comes to emuna, there's no other way. It's not like there's another choice. When you're dealing with emuna, lule he'emanti lirois b'tuv Hashem. So let's take away the word lule. He'emanti, I have faith. I have faith that I will ultimately witness the tov of Hashem. I have faith. And that's it. When it comes to emuna is so potent. It is in a class by itself. There's no such thing as not having emuna.
But when you say emuna, it means I don't know how God operates. So my emuna says that regardless of what happens, I will still have faith. In other words, that's why Yaakov says Vayirom Yod Vayetzalot. He from Avraham and Yitzchak, they had quintessential emuna. But Yaakov was afraid because he was shaking in his boots, and it bothered him because he
Shema Yigrom Achet.
He was afraid, and that bothered him. He shouldn't be afraid. What else? So I don't know how God operates. Do I have emuna regardless of what happened? The outcome is unimportant. My emuna stays.
Okay, this is very deep things over here.
Right.
He doesn't
want to stay in the negative. Because this is like close to the bottom. That's why you have that on top or the bottom. On the top, if everything will be okay. If not, then you have to have that on the bottom. You know what will happen. With my head to heaven. But he doesn't want to stay. He's just going to ignore it. That's why he said, Ani Mamin. You are saying that Hashem is my Sanego. My Enlan is my Sanego. I don't have to play the other side. God forbid. That's why he doesn't want to say that. Because he said it already before. I get shaken, you know, the Satan, whoever.
Okay,
he doesn't want to mention it.
Okay, let's try to explain. Yesterday I was reading, I'm sure many of you are, there is a Lag BaOmer was not that long ago, and one of the boys that passed away, Lag BaOmer last year, there were 45 boys, 45 young people who passed away. And there are two people that are still, Rahman Litzlan, in a very, very bad matzah. And besides the hundreds of people that are, you know, that are very, the whole Klal Yisrael is traumatized from this. Not everyone is, there's a lot of damage. One of the people who passed away, his name was Dovi Steinmetz. Okay, now, when he passed away, his parents, they really went all the way, and they tried to use his patira as a stepping stone for emuna. And they pushed very, very much this, the recital of the Ani Mamins. Animam, all the Yud Gimel Animamins. So they published a sefer. Article published a small sefer Animamins. I was actually reading it yesterday. It's very, very interesting about Animam. And it's Mamish over here, Luli Hamanti, Luli Hamanti. And one of the things it says over there, one of the things that just reading, glancing at it yesterday, let's go to Avraham Avinu. Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu and says to him, Avraham, I want you to take your son, Yitzchak, and offer him on as a carbon on the Akedah. Now, this is a very important point. How did Avraham Avinu know that Hashem really wants him to do this? I mean, Hashem does not want human sacrifices. How do we know that Avraham, his emunah, how do we know that the vision of Hashem coming to him and telling him, Kachno, es bincha, es yichidcha, shohavtas Yitzchak, was clear? Maybe Avraham can say to himself that the vision that I had, was not so clear.
No, it was certain that he was positive, no right. Question. To the extent it says Vayash came Avraham right. Baboker.
So the answer is that's not what our moon is. Avraham Avinu had absolutely no suffix whatsoever that Hashem wants him, the messages to take him and to bring him as a carbon. That is not negotiable. There's nothing to negotiate about that. The only question is Avraham Avinu, will he have enough strength, enough courage, enough the ability to go forward with it? There's no doubt as what Hashem wants from him. It was the Asplak Maria Hami'ira. The vision of what Hashem wants is absolutely clear. If Avraham does not do it, it's not because, no, I'm doubting myself. Maybe Hashem did not really tell me to do this. Maybe the vision was not. That is cool as shaker.
Right.
It is 100% clear what the principle is, what the instructions are, what the goal is. The only question is, will I be able to adhere to that principle? So that's the same thing over here. This is a very important point. Over here, David over here is saying, you know, I have no doubt that Hashem will reward tzaddikim in the next world. I have no doubt that there's going to be, there are problems and there are people. The principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward to the tzaddikim and punishes the rishonim is ironclad 100%. I hope I'm from those people. If it turns out, it's a very simple point, but it's very, very deep and profound, and that's mamish what it's saying over here, the dots. If it turns out that I do not merit,
please check your mic. It suddenly dropped in volume.
What's wrong? Mayor, you hear me? Hello? What's going on over here? Rav Kalman, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, okay. Mayor, they hear me here well. It might be your microphone. It might be the sound by you.
The volume went down. It's still down.
Not yours.
Maybe you got plugged out.
No, you're having a hard time hearing. That means you have another app. You have another app that's over. You have to reboot your phone. I've had this many, many times.
Oh, yeah?
If it's very, very low, it means there's another. This competition for your ports. You have to reboot the phone. They hear over here. I'm getting confirmation that the sound's okay. Reboot the phone. Okay, now, so here's what, if David HaMelech, this is a very basic one, David HaMelech is living a life of righteousness. What happens if David HaMelech discovers that you know, it doesn't go well? So maybe, so what would a person argue, this is not Picursus, oh, it might very well be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not always reward tzaddikim. There's something wrong with the principle. I am good. I have evaluated myself. I have checked myself. Every single thing that I did in my life is perfect. I have no doubt about that. I make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Every single day I guard myself. If I do not get the reward that I expect to get after being a good person, then that's an indication that there's something wrong with the principle. There's a principle that I believe that Hashem will provide reward to tzaddikim. You know something? Maybe it's not so. Maybe the way Hashem created this world is such that tzaddikim do everything that is correct, and there is no reward. And that's the way Hashem made his world. Hashem made a world where you have to serve and you don't get reward. Why is that? Why is that? That's not necessary. Why is that so terrible? Why is that so horrible? If this is what Hashem wants, Hashem put a person into this world to serve. So maybe he's supposed to serve and he's not going to get reward. So if I come to the end of my life and I see that I'm not getting reward, so it means that the principle is that Hashem put a man into this world to serve, and he's not necessarily going to get reward. Maybe not. Maybe the principle is that Hashem puts man into this world, and the goal is that he will get reward. We'll see what will happen at the end. That is apikorsis.
Right.
That is apikorsis, and that's what Lule is coming to teach you. The principle, it sounds very simple, but it's not. It's a very deep and profound concept. The principle is absolutely ironclad. There's a mesora. We have a mesora as to the principles of the emuna. These are all the animamins. These are the 39 animamins. There is no room to negotiate about the animamins. If you do find a problem that does not seem that something is not wrong, the problem is not with the animamins. The problem is with you. No matter how secure you are that you've done nothing wrong and everything that you've done passes all the tests, no, you're the problem. The animamim is not under. There's no debate. Like, remember I told you that story about the Mona Lisa? Wait, didn't someone just smash the Mona Lisa?
Threw custard at it.
Oh, isn't that amazing? I'm supposed to threw custard on it?
Threw a cake.
Threw a cake.
It didn't do anything because they had bullets.
Like I told you this story. This is a fantastic story. A person goes to go visit, see the Mona Lisa, right? And they're looking.
And the person dressed up as a woman.
Dressed up as a woman. A person looks at the Mona Lisa and he's standing there in front of the curator and says, I don't see what's so special about this. My child in kindergarten can do just as good.
Well, that wasn't the motive, but okay.
I have a child that's an artist that can do better than this. So the curator says to the person, excuse me, sir, the Mona Lisa is not on trial. It's not on trial. The Mona Lisa is accepted to be the best. This is priceless. This painting is not on trial. You are on trial. If you don't understand the greatness, the godless, the talent that went into producing this piece of art, you are the problem. Don't come over here and tell us, I don't see what's so special about this. My kindergartner can do the same thing. The Mona Lisa is not on trial. The principle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing reward, showing tzaddikim that there's going to be a day of lirois b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chayim, is not on trial. There is no trial. There will be a time of tzaddikim meriting to lirois b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chayim. There's nothing to negotiate. Who's on trial? You're on trial. Will you merit to be part of that Lirois B'tuv Hashem B'Yeretz Chayim? That's the dots.
You know what Mechazek, what you said now? The next pasuk.
Kavir Hashem Chazak Yamit Tzidecha.
Kavir Hashem Chazak Yamit Tzidecha.
I yearn that I should be part of it. I should merit.
Go there, to this pasuk. You know, it's all connected here. There is a Horein Hashem Ta'akecha, Al Bikleir Benef Tzarai, Anim Amin, this is Anim Amin Jir Kimal, and you doubt it if you have a problem, Kaber Yamet Tzidecha, be strong and with your emunah. Strengthen your emunah that it's you, that you should get it.
Let's just read those words of the Medrash. Look at the Rashi again one more time. The Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Rashi says, Shadarsh, the last line on the right side, Lule Nakud Olav Lemedrash, Shadarsh Rabbi Seinu. That's exactly what these dots are coming to teach you. The principle of He'emanti Lirois B'tuv Hashem B'Eretz Chayim, there are no dots. There are no dots there. The reason why there are dots is we're coming to contrast the word Lule versus the rest of the Pasuk. Dots connote absence, removal. Whenever you have dots on top of a word, we have to go through some of the examples. I don't have the examples now. Is the words that have dots, delete them. The word lule can be deleted, but the words of hemanti liros b'tuv Hashem b'yeretz chayim, that's not deleted. There will certainly, this is not subject to debate, there will be a time when tzaddikim will merit to lirois to see the tov Hashem be Eretz Chaim. The question is, what about you? Are your good deeds deserving to be part of that? And if a person discovers that he's not part of the lirois b'tov Hashem, that means that the person was fooled himself. He was not a tzaddik. The words are lule nokud olav lemidrash shadosh rabaseinu yodeya ani she'ato noisin socher latzadikim lo ilam haba. That is not subject to debate. And if a person comes to a point in time and he sees that he's not getting reward in the next world, that does not mean that he now should challenge that the principle is not true. Oh, you see that Hashem created a world and Hashem does not give reward to the tzaddikim because I'm a tzaddik, I did everything right. I did this, nothing I could possibly have done wrong. Every single thing that I did in my life was 100% according to halacha. And how could it then be that I did not get reward in the next world? It must be that there is no such rule. The rule of getting reward for serving Hashem is not true. That is apikorsis.
Right.
That is apikorsis. And that's what these dots over here are coming to teach you.
You see the fruits of your labor. I mean, it could be, it's like I told you last week, it's in a future generation.
Even theoretically, even put aside, you know, the future generation, let's say a person does have that ability. Make believe in the world of fantasy, a person does have the whole big spectrum. He has the whole, and if a person would merit to see the whole big spectrum and he would discover that he's not getting reward, don't make a mistake and think, oh, that the principle is not correct, but I am correct. Wrong. That's the purpose of these dots. Avraham Avinu, he had absolutely no doubt that Hashem said to him, it was be'asplak Maria Hami'ira. Hashem said, take your child Yitzchak, bring him to the Har HaMoria and offer him as a korban. It was clear as day. Don't confuse us now with V'ha'aleu. I only said V'ha'aleu. I didn't say this. That comes later on. Right now, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, take your child and bring him as a korban. There is nothing to debate. There is no... Avraham Avinu doesn't have the option now to second guess himself. Maybe Hashem never really told me to bring him on the arcade. No. It was B'asplak Maria Hami'ira. This is what Hashem wants. If I don't succeed, it's not because I found a loophole. Oh, it's not really what Hashem wanted me to do. It's because I didn't really understand what Hashem was saying. I second guessed myself if Hashem really said it to me. No. Hashem said to me, bring my child as a korban on Har Moriah. There is nothing to discuss. There's an ironclad rule over here. Hashem will give reward to tzaddikim la'asalavo. They will see the tov Hashem b'Eretz Chaim. If I don't make it there, it's because I'm the problem. I'm the problem. That is a very basic yesod in Judaism. And you see a lot of the apikorsim today and throughout things that you see in Chazal is where people come to challenge the principles. That's a common act of rebellion, where people become very selfish. And they say, you know, what do you want from me? I'm a good person. I do everything I'm supposed to. Hashem's coming to make my life difficult. Man is good. The principles that you're presenting, these principles are no good. They're no good. That's where all the problems begin. Where people say the rules are no good, and we are good. In Yadus, the rules are ironclad. Yodeya, this is like an example for many Yisoides in Yadus. Yodeya ani. This is not subject. The Mona Lisa is not on trial. The principle is not on trial. Yodeya ani. Sh'ato noisein socher la'tzadikim lo'olam haba. The question is, will we merit? Avol eni yodea im yesh li chelik imo em lof. That's the dots. That's what Chazal is telling us in dots.
Now, just to mention that, but I'm just thinking, but the question being, you know, how do the dots, you know, emphasize, or, you know, this particular idea, that he doesn't know if he's going to be it or not.
So
I think it's obvious, because Rugo, I mean, it's emphasizing the word Rugo. Rugo, perhaps not, perhaps I will not be Zayka. I mean, that's how the dots emphasize.
Because the dots connote to delete. The question is, am I really a believer?
That's usually deleted.
Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I have to doubt myself, but I'm not going to doubt the principle.
The question is, how do those dots indicate that particular principle? That I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Chayav and Tzedek. I don't know if I'm going to be.
I don't know if I'm going to be. Because I do know.
I'm suggesting
I might not
the
be
dots
here.
Now are the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
So I'm suggesting that. It's not taking it out. It's not deleting it. It's maybe emphasizing it. You know, Rugo, perhaps I will not. Perhaps I will, perhaps I not. I don't know. That's how it's indicating that, maybe. I'm just making that thought. But somehow, the dots indicate that. The question is, how do the dots indicate that?
Yeah, you're right. I don't really, it's hard to grasp.
That I do know. I don't know if I'm going to be Zayka or not. So it means Samadhi Lurach, but who knows? Perhaps I won't be. Maybe I don't know.
I know. It's hard. It's hard to really grasp.
The question is, how does
we need more clarification. Yeah. Exactly the mechanism of the dots. Yes, I agree with you.
The dots indicate that. Maybe you say it's emphasizing the word who knows? Perhaps not.
Okay, let's finish the last possible. Let's finish up this mizvah, right? Kavi El Hashem Chazak. Kavi means to yearn. Yearn El Hashem, yearn to Hashem Chazak. So Chazak, Chazak, v'nis Chazek. Chazak, strengthen yourself, v'yameitz libecha. Strengthen yourself, v'yameitz. The word yameitz is another word for strengthen. V'kavi El Hashem. What does it say over here in Rashi? Rashi, Kavi El Hashem, v'im loy, tiskabel tifiloscha, chazor v'kavi. This is a major principle in Judaism, and is never give up. That just because a person, when you make a request, if the request is rejected, normally, the person makes a request, and sends in a letter to an authority, and the authority says, the authority rejects. That's it. It's over. What are you going to make a request another time? By the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no such thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just because Hashem says no, don't take no for an answer. You have the option of always going back and asking again. I think that's a very interesting concept. By human beings, it's annoying. If you have a boss and you go over to him and you say, I work very hard here. I want a raise. I want a raise. It's not fair. This person, he makes this amount of money and I only make that amount and I deserve more. So the boss says, let me think about it. And you come back to him later in the day and he says, I thought about it. And the answer is no. So you go back the next and you say, I want to speak to you. I work very hard here and I think I should get a raise. So the boss, I told you yesterday, the answer is no. You come back on the third day and you say to the boss, I want a raise. And the boss says, I told you no already twice. You're annoying me. Guess what? You're fired. Now you get nothing. You are fired. That's kachi darkoi shel olam. In this world, you ask maybe once, maybe twice, ad kan. If you ask too many times, yotza schoroi behefseda. So why should the Ribbono shel olam be any different? If you dive into Hashem, and you give Hashem a reasonable amount of time to come through for you, and he doesn't come through, obviously Hashem says no. So, why are you wasting Hashem's time? Hashem has a lot of things to do up there. There are a lot of things that need to be done.
There is one exception.
Yeah.
It's a father to a child. That's why.
So a father to a child also, Adkan. If you go to your father and you ask your father for a toy, and your father says no, you ask another time. There's also a limit. There's also a father and a child. There's also a limit to how many times you can ask your father for something.
Like a boss.
What?
It's more than with a boss.
Okay, there's more, but there's also a limit. Everything has a limit by human beings. This pasuk is coming to teach you a principle, a very unique principle. And that is, by the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no such thing as it being final. It's an incredible principle. This is one exception. Yeah, what's one exception? Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Michal is mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. Voeschanan al toisif daber elai oid badavar hazeh. Adkan, do not. Moshe, Hashem gave Moshe explicit instructions. Adkan. Okay, it's an exception. That's the exception. And maybe you'll want to extrapolate, but maybe in life there are different. Now, you always hear people, the inspirational speakers, that will tell you that sometimes Hashem says no. Hashem says no. You mispalal, and Hashem says no. And you have to learn how to take no for an answer. Even from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's absolutely true. Yet the entire mechanism, the entire technique.
Yeah, but only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have a conversation with Hashem. We don't know when the answer is no, so we keep on praying. We don't know the answer.
But by design, we don't know the answer by design. We don't know the answer by design.
Exactly. Right. Maybe the answer is not yet. We don't know, so we keep praying. Moshe had, God say, God would come down to me right now and say, I know you asked me for this. The answer is no, then that's it. But I don't know. He's not communicating with me. So how do I know? So I keep asking.
Okay, this pasuk is an essential pasuk in Jewish thought.
Yes, right.
This pasuk, Kaveh Hashem, we're going to say a lot of very big yisoides. The pasuk of pasuk Yud Gimel is an incredible yisoid. The basic, the principles are not for negotiation. The principles are ironclad. The pasuk Yudal is touching us a yisoid in the koyach of tefillah, and the yisoid is Kaveh Hashem, yearn for Hashem's salvation. Chazak v'yameitz libech, Rashi. And let's say Hashem says no, or there is no response, it doesn't mean the answer is no. The purpose is chazak. You have to strengthen yourself and go back for more. Chazak v'yameitz libecha, fortify yourself. V'kaveh el Hashem. It's a continuous cycle. This is a very basic, fundamental principle in Judaism. And it's very appropriate for Chodesh El. We say this in Chodesh El, the whole Chodesh El, because what is Chodesh El? You're being misfollow again and again and again, 40 days until through Yom Kippur, and then even going until Sukkot. There's a continuous cycle. Rashi, v'imloi tiskabel tefilascha, and if Hashem does not accept your prayer, chazor v'kaveh. Okay, this is a very powerful principle. Maybe Baruch Hashem, we're so used to it. We've been brought up with this. Baruch Hashem, we're so used to it. It's obvious, but it's not obvious in the world. In the non-Jewish world, this is not very obvious.
Right.
The prayer is very, very limited by goyim. You pray and that's it. You pray one time and you finished. Either you get what you want, or you don't get what you want. By Klal Yisrael, it's not so much the goal of prayer to get what you want. The goal of prayer is the relationship, the connection, the continuous exercise of making that request. That is the ultimate goal of tefillah. Not necessarily the not to get it's not the result. It's the relationship that you develop through the koyach of tefillah. Chazal said that all of the avos were akara. They did not have children. Avraham and Sarah did not even have a base heroyon. She did not even have the physical organs to have a child. Yitzchak and Rivka did, but Yitzchak and Rivka, they waited 10 years. They waited 20 years. 20 years. And Yaakov, all of the imahis were akaros. And Rosh Hashanah Chana was an akara. Why? Because Hashem wanted the fulfillment of this pasuk, Kaveh el Hashem, yearn for Hashem, and Hashem did not accept the prayers. Chazak v'yameitz libecha, to fortify yourself, and go back the Kaveh el Hashem again, and they did this for generations, for decades.
So that's great. Toward the end, there's a very special verse. We say toward the very end,
Yeah.
Very often we're not answered. So we say to a Kosh Baruch Hu that even though you didn't answer me, of course we still want whatever we need, we say we still daven to Hashem Shimcha Lufanova Lohikas.
Even though we're not answered, we still thank you just for listening.
You shouldn't say it's all Christians. When I went there as Israel this year, I have a shiksa with davens in my shul.
Yeah.
And she gave me she didn't know that this whole concept exists to put a tzetel in the post.
In the kursal, yeah.
So she gave me an envelope. It was a 6-page letter to God. All right. She and her sister, they wrote their whole problems. So I hope, because I said, there's no way I could put this in the gozel, obviously. It was like, you needed a wagon to carry the envelope. But I opened it up to read it. And it was a very moving letter. And at the end of the letter, she says, but if none of my requests are answered, that does not change my belief and my faith in you, God.
She has Jewish yichus. That's a Jewish principle. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, this concludes Mizmor Chav Zayin. Im Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow we will begin Mizmor Chav Ches.
We can sing, that's a type of, it says, Sedonah, we give even though we're done the Yirtz.
Even though we still give the Tzedakah. Even if Hashem is not in the prayer, you still do. Okay, everybody said we're going to take a short break. We're going to learn about the Luchos. After the break, I want to spend some time discussing the Luchos Sabris. The Shavuos is all about the Kabbalah Satira, the Chilik between the first Luchos and the second Luchos, and other related in Yana. We'll be back in a few moments. Mayor Appeldorf, are you there? Where is he? He's not here.